I was a hippie girl. I wanted to be a folk singer. That I knew that, like, when I was 5 years old, I heard Connie Francis sing, and I thought, "That's me," you know. At that time in my life, that was my goal. And so I hung around with the musicians and the hippie kids and got into a phenomenal amount of trouble that you can get into Rockford because it's so boring, you know? So I did. And during that time, a book came out that all the hippie kids got into, and it was called Be Here Now by Ram Dass. And I read it, and it was, I got it. I thought I got it. I thought, this makes sense to me, you know? I get this. This makes sense. And so did a lot of other hippie kids at the time. We all got that. And what happened is I kind of tried to practice it on my own. Be here now, be in the moment. You know, we're all one, all that good stuff. And the problem is, I didn't have a teacher, and there weren't too many teachers you could find in Rockford, Illinois. And I was also, you know, doing drugs and alcohol because that's what my group of hippie kids did. And to make a long story short, it went south. You know, it went very south. And I decided by the end of that time that, you know, Eastern religion is probably a very accurate thing, but in reality, if there is such a thing as karma, and if I had a choice in it, I chose to be a Catholic, so doggone it, I'm going to stay Catholic. This is, you know, too dangerous for me. It's true. That was my decision at that point in my life. I'm going to be straight. I'm going to be Catholic. I'm going to be a good kid. And I still had this affinity for music at the time. So in my early 20s, I did end up moving to Chicago and started working for Illinois Bell. But the reason I was doing that is because they had a lot of, at that time in the early 70s, a lot of folk clubs in Chicago. And I played them. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I actually saw my dream kind of come true there. What happened is I don't know, it just became work after a while, and I lost a lot of the enjoyment. The good thing that happened is at Illinois Bell, and because of music, I met my husband, Hohen. I met him at Illinois Bell, and we knew a lot of people because of the club scene in Chicago. So we ended up getting together. And because of Hohen, I ended up moving from Chicago to Los Angeles in the early 80s because he got a job out here. Hohen studied Zen in Chicago before we met and was reading a lot of information on it. I really didn't know anything about Zen until he started talking about it. And he found ZCLA when I was in my mid-30s. You know, he decided, you know, we're going to go here. He had read Three Pillars of Zen, and we're going to go here, and there's a teacher here, and we're going to, you know, we're going to go to talk to a teacher. And so we went, and Mizumi Roshi was still alive at the time. And Hohen coached me, you know, to go into Dokusan with Mizumi. We took the beginner's class there. But Hohen coached me. He said, look at what you really want to do when you go into the teacher is ask the teacher for a koan. That's really what you want to do. You want to get a koan. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'll do that. So, so I went in. I did get to go in. I had two whole Dokusans with Mizumi Roshi, and I'm extremely grateful for that today. I'm sorry, I guess, and I know you shouldn't be sorry, but I am sorry that I didn't know more than you know. But it is what it is. So I went into my first Dokusan, and of course I said, I'd like a koan. And he was very kind. He was very kind. And he gave me a koan. He gave me a koan, but it wasn't one of those cool koans, you know, like, what's the sound of one hand? It was, or you know, does a dog have Buddha nature? Or no, he said, my koan was, if God is inside of you, if God is inside of you, what is he doing now? I was like, oh, man, that's not what I'm doing this for.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be a Catholic again. So I did. I became Catholic again. Because, you know, we had the kids. The kids were little, and we had a babysitter at the time, so that allowed me to go there a little bit. But the kids were really little. I have two kids, a son and a daughter, and now they're in college, and it's wonderful because now I have a lot of time. But at the time, one of us, you know, really needed to kind of be with them, and Hohen was really, he was really into the practice, and you know, still is, I think. At any rate, I didn't continue the practice. I actually became a really good Catholic. I wasn't a good Catholic before, and I became a really good Catholic. I went to Mass. I did the things you're supposed to do, and, you know, my kids were in Catholic school and raised Catholic, and what I discovered, you know, during the Masses and the homilies and everything is that I do, and I've always known this my whole life, I do have a real appreciation of Christ as a teacher. So I guess that would make me a Christian Buddhist, if there is such a thing. But yeah, I hesitate to call myself Christian because it's got a real bad connotation to it these days. But in my view, Christ was not unlike Buddha, and was not perhaps the savior in the way that we think of him, but an enlightened teacher. That's how I view him. And when you listen to the stuff that's written about him, it doesn't say any of the bad things that people suggest who are Christian that, you know, you need to do. As far as I know, Christ said, you know, love one another, forgive, you know, forget. We're all one. You know, the meek shall inherit the earth. Those are things I know that Christ said. And that's not unlike Buddha. So anyway, that's what I got of that. I make Roshi crazy because I do talk to him about Christ and Buddha and about God. And my God is a word that you could call God Buddha and you could call God Dharma. I mean, that's kind of my vision of God. And I was talking to Shindo about that once, and Shindo suggested I call it Gouda. and then we said, what a friend you have in Jesus, you know? So we could do that. Anyway, as time moved on, things, you know, went on as planned, I guess, for a normal family type person who works for the phone company. What did happen is I realized that I had an issue with wine. I love wine. My family is half Italian, and they own a winery in Sicily somewhere. And I love wine. I really do. And the problem is that there came a day where I realized I couldn't put wine down. You know, Roshi says that if you can't, don't pick it up if you can't put it down. And I couldn't put it down anymore. And it's a real bizarre time when you figure that one out. But I did. I figured it out and went to AA for a couple years. And I'm grateful for that program because I really had trouble quitting. I really, really did, and they helped me quit. So I have nothing but good things to say about it. In that program, I studied the 12 steps. And the interesting thing about the 12 steps, as you're working through them, one of the steps is that you can basically choose your own, what they call, higher power. And anybody, you can choose your own higher power. Nobody has to define that for you. You can make, you know, the people around you your higher power, or you can make the earth your higher power, or you can make, you know, your definition of whatever your definition of God is, your higher power. And it occurred to me that my higher power really isn't Catholic. My higher power is more inclusive than that. And I remembered, I came several times when Hoan was here with Roshi, and Ento and Doman and Kyoji and, you know, some of the older friends that I remember from the days when I came with Hoan, they were always so kind and so accepting and non-judgmental. And I thought, you know, why don't I go there? So I ended up here. And I started practicing with Roshi. My practice when I came here was counting my breath. When you drink too much, a friend of mine showed me pictures of alcoholics, didn't show me the pictures, but told me about these pictures she saw where alcoholics were kind of sitting in a meditative state going, you know, kind of like alcoholic samadhi. And I'm not kidding about that. That's what alcohol did for me. It was alcoholic samadhi. It stopped my head from thinking. It really did. And I even know when I would, you know, after like that second glass of wine, it was click. You know, I'm good now. You know, but I can't do that anymore. And one of the things that, and I might be getting kind of addicted to it here, but like just even counting my breath and learning how to, and I'm by no means, you know, perfect at this, but learning how to let stuff go when it comes into your mind, it's like that click is happening a little bit, you know, that it's okay, you know. The alcoholics have a term called edgy. You know, I feel edgy. I don't know what it is. That's less and less and less and less for me when, you know, as I've been practicing, for whatever that's worth.